Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Hey, look out. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation. We did have a Mike McCarthy presser earlier, learned a lot of stuff. He continues to be quite transparent and informative in those sessions. We'll get you caught up on everything you might have missed today with your Dallas Cowboys and what to expect as Sunday's noon start against Cleveland is fast approaching with the Browns coming to town. We do have more Corona sports news, though. Major League Baseball just announcing they are making 11,500 tickets available for the NLCS and the World Series. You guys in on that?
Okay. I think so.
Let's go.
I think so. Yeah, I think I'd like to be in. It depends who's there. Like I saw, if the Astros are in the World Series, I'm not going.
Good point.
I hate that team. I saw a quote from, I think it was Correa, after they won and they're moving on past the first round, the wild card round. He's like, a lot of people didn't want to see us here. A lot of people are angry. What are they going to say now? Well,
you're,
we're going to say that this year has nothing to do with the year you cheated, you idiot.
What'd you call him? You did call him an idiot. What'd you call him, Jeff?
No, I called him a dip-ass, and then I deleted it because that's a personal attack, and cursing at people's over the line. But
I thought it was not
for cheaters.
Yeah, don't what call them that. Just say they're being. You can always say they're being.
You're,
I do
being
that with my
dip-ass.
Yeah. I always say that with my lady all the time. I don't call it a word. I just say you're being.
Okay.
Did you just call? I said no. I said you're being right now. See, like, you got to pay attention, babe.
You can't be a stupid head. Winning right now does not mean that you didn't cheat then. We know you cheated then. Aha! What's up now? Oh, now! Well, now is now, and then was then, and you cheated then. Shut up.
Those batting averages are way down. Have you
noticed?
Yeah,
they're all down 100
points.
Like
100 points. Every one of their guys is down 100
points. Barely made the playoffs.
Yeah. What's up now? And the bad part is I know I would be the exact same way if I was him, because you have to find your chip on your shoulder however you can in sports, and that's the way that they're going to do it. But you're an idiot. You're all idiots. You're not proving something now.
I think younger version of Jeff would have just stood by it and stood your ground. But this version of Jeff would have been like, guys, we have to recognize we were in the wrong. Let's
yes,
talk about
guys,
it.
Yes, guys, look, we cheated. Now, if this is the front that we're going to put up to try to motivate ourselves, that's fine. But know in your heart, this doesn't change that we cheated.
They're going to reflect on this later in life and be like, oh, boy, I can't believe we did that. And we let the city talk us into the we weren't cheaters and we were being wronged. MLB says no seat will be sold within 20 feet of where the players are located, per Bob Nightingale. Yeah, at 11,500, what is that, 20% of capacity, 15% of capacity, something like that?
Yeah, 45,000 out there, 40,000, something like that.
I went to a couple ALCS games, including Game 6 when they struck out Alex Rodriguez, and it was incredible. I've never been to a World Series game. I consider that, you know, bucket listy type of stuff. So if, I don't know, if the roof was open, I would probably be even more likely. I don't know what it's going to cost. If it's $40, I'm definitely going. The whole family's going. You know, is it $400?
Yeah.
The price for this World Series ticket?
Yeah. How much travel will you think from the teams coming in? Would they sell the tickets? You know, will that something you have to deal with too? Out of towners and sitting there.
I would imagine. Yeah. We might want to have to jump on this as soon as they become available if you want to go.
I think we got a suite, don't we? A suite for this?
How many people are you comfortable with in the suite? Masks on, by the way, in the suite. Probably masks on in the stadium everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Four.
Half dozen people?
What?
Us four.
I mean, we had Matt Hicks and TNP and CJ Nitkowski. Like, these are people in our broadcast sphere here, people that we've been around, and Rona's floating, you know? I do want to push the envelope as far as more and more activities. I want to go to sporting events. I want to do all that. But at the same time, I'm not trying to be reckless in the confines of, like, closed-off space.
Yeah.
I mean, hell. I'm not even going into work with you yet, Brian. It's October here. We're 7 months in.
He's scared of you, Brian.
I,
Yeah, I don't blame him.
I'm never coming back, so.
I've kind of got the point, yeah. Like, Gavin walked in, we were talking about that. He's like, oh, I don't think these guys are ever coming back. I'm like,
no.
Okay.
No.
We're doing fine, yeah. Just get used to it, yeah.
877-881-1053. Does it matter? Text in. Let us know.
Yeah, I would like to see your feedback on that. Okay, other coronavirus news. Does the SEC have a ticking time bomb on their hands, or are they doing it right? Missouri head coach Eli Drinkwitz said there's no uniform SEC policy for public reporting, and that's made news today. You've been in that conference affiliated many ways over the years, Broadus, and there's no sharing of that information among the 14-member programs. Would you trust the other programs? Hey, they're not going to tell you, but if they do have somebody with corona, they're not going to play. Missouri was without five of their players Saturday as they fell to Bama. Drinkwitz says, though, he has no idea what's going on with other teams week to week. SEC did not respond for a request for comment on this story.
Okay, I think that there needs to be an agreement among those coaches, though. You know, I think there needs to be early communication, like, listen, okay, this is the guys we're dealing with. This will be out. You know, and I think that's only fair with each other.
For competitive reasons, or for making your decision about whether you want to play or not?
Well, yeah, for your decisions, for how you want to go forward, because I don't think it's fair to go in. Now, I think you have a better chance of getting your players tested if, like, Texas A&M plays Alabama this weekend. I think, that these programs have the financial ability to test all their players and make sure. Now, if you're playing a smaller school, you have no idea. You're just saying, okay, we need this game. We need to get the practice and you get going here. You don't know if that team, that small college is testing guys. But I would like to believe that I think that Texas A&M, Georgia, Auburn, LSU would all be testing their players, so they wouldn't put my team at risk. But I think you have to share that information. And if you want to do it with each other, but not put it out to the media.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that, too. I'm okay.
I guess it's not just the SEC. ESPN is reporting here. Half the Power 5 schools have no reporting policy.
Yeah.
And, maybe that's a way of just sliding through without it hitting the headlines too much or assuring you're going to get the games in. Maybe it's putting your head in the sand. I don't know. But if anybody in the SEC was worried about lawsuits, I would be picking up the phone today and saying, guys, this is not going to play well in court if we do end up there.
Guys, I can report this because of my school. And remember, we were right there with Clemson when they started talking about they had 30 cases of this, right, coming into the practice and all that. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, how are you going to play? How are you going to do this? I was told that, listen, we had guys that had false positive tests. We had guys that had symptoms. We had guys. Not all 30 players were sick. And it was reported as you had 30 players sick, and it wasn't factual. So what I think has happened when we had all those early reports, Clemson, Alabama, LSU, I think coaches just said, the heck with this. We're not going to allow this to happen. Not every week we're not going to let this happen.
Because the misinformation could sink your season with the public opinion changing based off of it.
It could, and it could also mean that you don't care about the kids. Yeah. You don't care. Like, I'm sitting here and my son's getting recruited by Alabama. And it's looking like, man, correct. I'm not letting my kid go to Alabama. The coach doesn't care. They had 30-something cases of this, And I think that these when it all hit initially in the summer when we were dealing with this, I think these coaches said enough. We're not going to allow this to happen.
And that is in the college coach's playbook. If it's information we don't like, we'll suppress it.
Exactly. he's not wrong. Yeah. He's not wrong. Yeah.
Okay. It is the G-Bank Nation here on The Fan. Takeaways from Mike McCarthy's presser. I want to salute the guys at bloginttheboys.com for notating this. They're, I think, a pretty cool resource here for Cowboys fans if you want more information. And they transcribed quite a bit of what Mike McCarthy said. So if you don't get the chance to hear it live, you can always go back with the radio.com app. But in this instance, I did see a link to this, and I was like, oh, cool. As far as the breakdown in the secondary, he says you're looking at communication and route combination recognition. So recognizing what's coming at you and then talking to others about it. Does that sound simple? Is that a simple solution for you guys?
Eyes.
Well, it's like the fourth and two, right?
Yeah.
The fourth and two.
Joe
in
Thomas.
Theory, you had guys in position that could have covered the routes, but you didn't. So, I believe Brian anytime he watches tape, and tells me who is responsible for something. But, like, that's one of the things when I'm watching a defense is I'll hesitate to place blame directly on one person without knowing exactly what they've called and what everybody's responsibility is. Like, did someone else screw up? And I'm trying to cover for him, and now he tried to cover for him. And, like, I, you know, without knowing it for sure. But, yeah, like, that's what burned him on 4th and 2. That route combination shouldn't have screwed you up. You should have covered that. And you should have got the ball back with the lead with 2.5 minutes left in that game, and you should have beat the Seahawks. But somehow something real simple got screwed up. So now how many miscommunications are allowed before you say that's a bad football player? Like, Joe Thomas isn't a bad football player. He's a nice journeyman linebacker that can play for a team when you need him to play. But, like, their secondary, you're getting beat a lot. And it's not all assignment. A lot of it's ability. So they're in trouble. And now you can fix part of it with experience, new defense, no preseason. I get it. You can fix some of that, but I think part of it's going to come down to they don't have the horses.
Well, I do. Oh, go ahead, Brian.
No, and real quick, General. I mean, I understand week one, maybe week two, week three. Okay, we're playing now. We can't. You can't have that. I mean, they could talk about pandemic. We didn't practice. We didn't do this. I don't need to hear that anymore. We're 3 weeks into this. You're NFL players. You know, we're not college players. We're not kids, freshmen playing for the first time, like LSU giving up 600 yards passing. I think they'll get better. I do. But, you're an NFL team. You can't make mistakes if you're a veteran safety and your responsibility is to bracket a guy and you freeze in the middle of the field. You can't do that. What are you looking at? The quarterback is in the pocket. There's no crosser. There's no vertical guy coming in your area. And your responsibility is the guy to the outside. That's your job. You know, I don't need to hear we're trying to learn anyway. It's a new scheme. And BS. It's week three. Line up and play and be effective.
I think that's a great point. I wanted to riff off that. I do want to salute my guy, Ted Nichols Payne. There he is in the Pimp Cup helping out Lucius Alexander. Yeah. It is amazing to see you, Ted. Tremendous relief to see him emerging and out in public there after an incredible bout with COVID and
some relieved.
Other complications.
Yeah, right. Standing right over my shoulder talking to me, fam.
Antibodies.
I had my mouth open. I was like, let me cut this out real quick.
Lucius had that hazmat suit on. He was like, just pulled it off.
I'm trying to disappear up
like
in here.
Super, like Clark Kent going into the phone booth.
Okay, so they do need to go generic. Sympathies to Rod and Chris. They had it right last year. You know, I do believe that there is something with the players they have. As a collection, this defense is either over the hill or not that good. And it's a result of spending 12 years not investing in the defense, which is what happened from 2008 to 2020. And you've hit a couple of times, but it's later round picks. And those guys, they're not as good of athletes, not only because they're not as physical, they're not as fast, but they're not as good at learning the sport. They're not as good as recognizing the sport. That's why they're sixth rounders and third rounders and fourth rounders. And you're kind of getting what you paid for after so many years without premium contracts or premium draft picks. That's why you can't turn it over. That's why your guys can't learn. That's why they can't recognize. So now, how do you continue to build an offensive line, have wide receivers, and invest in this defense? It's a tight wire act while you're giving your quarterback a fifth of your cap.
And unfortunately, there are some guys on that defense that were a premium. One's a first-round pick on IR. One was almost a first-round pick that's making the money that should have gone to Byron Jones. One is a $20 million man that's banged up and is underachieved as a pass rusher. Like, there's some there.
Yeah.
But they've made contractual mistakes. They've got injuries. They've got a lot going on. And Byron's hurt right this second. But holy cow, what would you give to have Byron getting Jalen's money?
Yeah.
Anything.
There it is right there. Yeah.
I'll give you a toe. I'll give you two toes. Mm-hmm. Either the middle one or probably the one next to the big toe. I'd give one of those.
Post June 1, Tyrone Crawford, go back, don't do the deal with Jalen Smith. Now you have a top five corner in your secondary.
Wow,
and all of a sudden, you know, that was part of the formula in 2018 where up until December, they were keeping teams under 20 points. You know, and things really started to unravel, and now you take away the corner, a little bit of age, a little less productivity, and now the defense is really looking rough. And I don't know if you can look at this coaching staff as the reason for it not coming together.
There are guys on that defense that they're relying on to make plays that haven't. That is the simple fact right there. I mean, coaches always talk about putting guys into position to make plays. Jeff brought up the 4th-and-2 pass to Olsen. They had three of the guys covered. Or excuse me, two of the three guys covered. The third guy caught the pass. That's because Russell Wilson saw what was happening. So, I mean, cover all the guys, play the assignments, do what the coaches ask you to do, you know, and take your chances that way. You know, make a play by being in position. You know, that's what this defense needs. It needs more guys not busting in the secondary or busting underneath at linebacker. They don't need that. Okay. Or guys trying to play the stuff on the defensive line as well.
That's a great point. He was asked about Jalen Smith when it comes to the alignment and being in position. Mike McCarthy at his presser earlier was asked, and he said the alignment was better. The pre-snap reads were better, but the execution wasn't there. And he talked about the quarterback moving around with Russell Wilson, and he said, hey, they expect Baker to do some more of that. I just don't know how so many coaches could still not see that Jalen Smith is going to have a hard time with mobile quarterbacks because he can't change direction laterally equally both ways. If the offensive coordinators on other teams are really paying attention, they know. Exploit Jalen Smith's left knee and his ability to push off of that and move right. If you're cutting to your left, he ain't coming there. I don't care how close he is to you. He's going to have to do some toe taps for about a half second while he gets his body spun around, and then he's going to take off like a cannonball. But you're going to be gone by then.
Well, that's where you could blame coaching because they're putting him in situations where he's failing. This has been three straight games where he has had a play where he's had to make a space play in coverage or spy or whatever, and he hasn't been able to finish the play.
All right, great stuff there. A review of Mike McCarthy's press conference coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Oh, by the way, Joe Looney tomorrow at 4:40. Very much looking forward to the big man jumping back on with us. He's always good times. How good are those guys, though? And other things you need to know about the Browns is coming up next in the Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. What you need to know about the Cleveland Browns right here. I am hanging on to some Gator news, not Florida Gators.
Oh, yes!
Okay, you got it?
No, no.
You're doing it, Jeffrey?
No, I don't, okay. But this I support. I do All not right. support 60 seconds on soccer. I support Gator news.
Yes, well, we'll get you at least a minute on Gator news, as there is a record in the region. It begs the question, what are these guys eating? You know? We'll get there in just a second. Yes, if they can get their mouths on us. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are 4.5-point favorites, which seems like a bit much. That's a no bet for me. I'll never bet against the Cowboys unless it's a golden lock and it's time to, like, make a mortgage payment or something. I don't feel like this is a golden lock, but Cleveland with 4.5, if I was an objective observer, I think I'd make a wager on that.
Okay. I think I would pass as well. 4.5 it's a little high for me because I don't trust
the Cowboys even going to win?
I think the Cowboys are going to win. Now, I will not be saying it with my chest this week. I'll be kind of saying it with my whatever's just up here. Just kind of my mouth, my throat a little bit.
Yeah.
Adam's apple.
I will not be saying it with my chest that the Cowboys are going to win. I'll be saying a little lighter than that.
Yeah, that's your football trash talking voice, isn't it, right there? You got to bring it down a couple octaves.
No, I think I accidentally go up because I get excited. Yeah. Because I'll kind of do the desk thing. He can't guard me. I guess I did. Is that up or down? I don't know.
I think that's normal. Yeah, that's normal cadence, okay. A normal tone, I think. Cowboys are sitting there as 4.5-point favorites. I don't know, over a field goal for a team that's struggled. Cleveland 2-1. What are you building that off of? The home factor? The Cowboys factor? To me, that's a Cowboys fan tax, if you ask me. You know, without knowing if, you know, Tyron's going to play. Yes, but, whoo, boy, there are so many players out, and Cleveland is dangerous.
I think a lot of people really respect Seattle and the fact that you, with all the things that went wrong in that game for you, that you took them to the mat. But they were they made more plays. They were better than you that day. I think that's probably what it is. It's more like, man, they played that Seattle bunch pretty well. I think that's where it's at right now.
Misguided respect for Seattle, I think. I'm not buying them.
Ooh.
Seattle is going to struggle with that secondary. They're going to have problems. Absolutely. Yeah.
Good team, playoff team. But I don't think they've put the squad around Russ to think they're going to the Super Bowl right now. I think he's cooking out of necessity.
He's having to. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay. How good do you think the sorry, Jeff.
Can I take you backwards?
Yeah.
Because I agree with you in theory. My only problem is, like, who in the NFC are you sure is going to send Seattle home? Green Bay?
New Orleans or Green Bay?
I don't think New Orleans can.
I think Breeze is washed.
Yeah.
It's over.
He's been without Michael Thomas for a couple of weeks. You might want to hold judgment on that.
I know, and I brought that up.
I brought that up in the NFL notes, but I do worry about that. All of a sudden, people start playing him at the sticks, you know, there's like, okay, you're not going to throw the ball deep. We'll just rally on everything underneath.
Is their defense still pretty good, though, in New Orleans? It just seems like they've been the most balanced team in the NFC.
They have problems at corner. They really, really do. They got exposed a little bit at corner.
I think they had a big-time opportunity to win one of the last two Super Bowls, or both, and they didn't. And I think they're done-ski.
Okay, well, I would just say then Seattle is not head and shoulders above. They're not a clear favorite. They're amongst flawed NFC teams that could end up in the Super Bowl.
Tis fair, and the Cowboys are desperately hoping to join that flawed team race if they can get healthy.
Okay, so it's not a must-win. You know, I don't know if there's going to be a must-win until they have 8 or 9 losses, for crying out loud. So you could lose and still be fine. But I want to know from you, Brian. You've been studying the tape. You had a report back there at 2:40. If you had to give me a big picture thumbnail, how good is this Cleveland Browns team after peaking late 18, struggling in 19? What kind of a squad are we looking here at 2-1?
Yeah, they've got the ability with that running game to kind of hurt you, and they've got a coach that's willing to call the running plays. Now, I say that in a way to physically wear you out, you know, to have to play. We talk about pass rush and how that it could affect you going down after down. But there's also, you can get demoralized having to play run defense too, especially if somebody's really, really good at it. And this team can rip off some big runs. Now, if they're scared, we've talked about this, if they're scared of your offense and they say, okay, we're going to try and control the game here. We're going to play a 19-point game today. That's all we care about. Because we know if you are compromised at offensive line and we've got pass rushers that can affect the game, then we're okay with that. Because when you try to throw the ball against us, we're gonna affect you with our pass rushers. And then when we get the ball back, we're just gonna try and control the game here so you don't have more opportunities. And we'll play a slug out game like that. You know? You
watch Browns Bengals, right?
And
Hunt and Chubb combined 32 carries for 210.
Yeah.
What do you think of that Cincy run defense compared to the Cowboys defense? Could they run it down the Cowboys' throats just as easily?
Yeah, the problem that you're going to run into with the Cowboys' run defense is that, and they get to the point where they get super aggressive trying to get to the ball, and then all of a sudden you get washed. I worry about the cutback today, guys, in this game. I really do. I think it's going to be full flow, and then all of a sudden they're getting everybody chasing, and then that ball bends back behind the center. And now you've got, okay, where's Darian Thompson stepping up? Where's Woods stepping up? What happened to the backside end? What happened to the backside linebacker? Jalen Smith is flying his rear over all the way over here inside. Now he can't revert back or get back outside to make the play. I do worry about that, where they do cut that ball back and nobody's there in the alley to play it for the Cowboys.
Okay, so we've talked about the possibilities. Cleveland's dangerous. Is it all possible in your mind that at 2-1, but their wins over football team and Bengals, that they aren't good, that they're going to have another 6-10 type of year?
Oh, I think there's concerns there. Absolutely. I do know that they've got players, like I said, the running backs I worry about, the receivers I worry about. If you weren't so compromised on your offensive line, if you weren't so compromised in the secondary the way they're playing right now, you know, giving up big plays. I mean, this, you know, if you're Cleveland, you could kind of say, okay, well, we could try and run the ball, or we could throw against a defense that all they do is give up 20 plus yard plays throwing. You know, I mean, and you've got the guys, you've got the capability. It's not like you're playing the Eagles receivers. You're playing a couple of guys that could go get the football. And if you give Baker Mayfield enough time to throw, you know, that could be a recipe for you for problems.
I think you need your quarterback to beat their quarterback.
And, like, and you're Baker, capable of that.
Right. Yeah. Like with Baker, I think he's going to end up having a solid NFL career, because I can't think of an NFL quarterback who peaked in his rookie year, who was a good rookie and then was a bad quarterback. So, like, I think he's going to end up having a solid career at least. But for the Browns, their offensive line is better than yours. Their tight ends are better than yours. Their wide receivers are good. I don't think they're better than yours, but they're good. Their running back is better than yours. Their defensive line is better than yours. They got a lot going for them. So I think in this one, what you have to count on is the most important position on the field that's going to have the most to say about who wins this is the quarterback every week. Yours has to be better than theirs. Regardless of the factors around them, you've got to find a way to be better than theirs.
Do they not trust him yet?
I don't think they should trust him. I think that's the problem. I think Baker is so up and down that, like, I legitimately wonder when he had a good rookie year, was he just like, man, this is awesome, I'm great, and didn't care for a while, and does he need to be mad to be able to be effective and to care about preparing to play the games? Like, I have a lot of questions about Baker just in terms of the football character and the work ethic, because I think he was driven his whole life by being slighted on the football field. And after his rookie year, he was praised.
Yeah.
And where is your motivation? So I don't know. Like, there's times where he plays really well, but there's times even, and including this year, where he does not play well.
No.
And he'll give you a chance to beat him.
And I think it goes back to Kevin Stefanski, the head coach. You know, you look what he did in Minnesota with Cousins. How much did he really – and, you know,
and Keenum. Was he there with Keenum?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He's like, okay, let me run the football. Let me protect my guy. Let me try and limit mistakes. You know, that's how they're playing football right now.
Okay. Elsewhere with the Browns, they are kicking the tires on old Ryan Switzer, traded to the Raiders for Jahad Ward a couple years back after rookie year with the Cowboys. He went on to Pittsburgh where he was a return guy. And he was released in September, so he's looking to dance his way into Cleveland, possibly for the Browns, who need a return guy. All right. We go to the municipality of Dumas, Arkansas. Gentlemen, we have alligator news.
Here we go.
Four Arkansas men went hunting on Lake Marisach this weekend. They had no idea just how big of a surprise was waiting for them, though. Saw the story on WFAA.com. It was an AP story they picked up and ran. Gary Bearden, Travis Bearden, Tommy Kelly, Cody Bearden. Three family Bearden members boys. And their best buddy.
That Cody's a problem.
The Bearden boys.
Bearden boys have always been out there.
They were on a boat Saturday. They spotted the gator in the water. We weren't real sure how big he was when we spotted him. To our surprise, after we harpooned it, it ended up being a giant.
Hell yeah. But you've already harpooned it, so you're feeling good about your chances here.
We're not trying to trap it or bait it or treble hook it. We're going right after it with the harpoon gun.
Look at that. A gator got it.
Oh,
I do wonder about the gator. You know, I try to be a, not necessarily full PETA-friendly guy, but just to respect life in general. Does the gator serve a great purpose, or should we be attempting to extinct them? I don't know.
I don't think you survive for millions of years if you're not in harmony with Mother Nature somehow.
Okay,
but I could be wrong. It might just be a nuisance predator. I'd have no problem clearing them out, you know. I could use a swim down there in some of those bayou lakes.
Text in and let us know. Why shouldn't we be hunting them to extinction, you know? We've created weapons for this.
Need something to look at on the airboat when you're tooling around, you know?
Oh, man.
That's a whole economy behind alligators. Yeah. People make money showing you a gator. Look at that. That's another gator right there, boy. It's going to be $50. You and your old lady take a photo next to that gator.
Shoot the gator. Yeah. Cassandra and I were in New Orleans like 5 years ago for a little weekend on bye week, and we went out on one of those boats.
Airboats,
and a guy that sounded just like that picked up a damn gator out of the water. He must have known it was a farm one or something. He threw it in the boat. He picked it up. Nah. It was about a three-footer, and it looked up at us and then slithered away and jumped right back in the water. But he's like, I just wanted to make sure you guys were still alive.
Yeah, it's like Disney World. It was an act. The gator was paid. You know, they go back and give some chicken pieces at the end of the day.
I guess he knew that gator wasn't a threat because he dropped it down confidently. Travis Bearden, though, says it drug the boat around for almost 2 hours before I was able to get a clean shot with the rifle. Gator measures 13.11.5, nearly 14 feet, weighed 800 pounds, broke a state record. Trey Reed with the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. It's the longest gator harvested since Arkansas has had a gator season. And Travis said, having my dad and my brother there made it that much more special. I just sat back and listened to Daddy tell stranger after stranger the story. I think he might be more excited than I am.
A gator got it.
How many friends do you need if I arm you with only a knife? Each of you gets a knife, and it's an 800-pound gator. How many friends you need? Or do you have to have a better weapon?
Are we
than that?
In the water with the gator or on the land?
Boy, if we're in the water, we're screwed.
We got
right?
no shot.
We can't be in the water.
We got no shot.
Can we get a hook with a piece of chicken on the end to at least get him on the line? And then I got to finish him with the knife over the top?
No, I was thinking combat. No? Like, he knows what's going down. You know what's going down. You're in a field. How many friends with a knife?
I'm going to need to import the gator boys. And it'll be me and those two guys. Because they can wrestle him.
Two of the
his arms behind
names?
His back.
The Beardens? Who are they?
Cody Bearden and his boys.
Yeah, Cody and Travis and Daddy. Here we go. It's time for Jeff's unnamed segment today. Coming up next, where are we going with that, sir?
There's just one more thing I got to fix with the Cowboys next.
Thank you, Lucius. Here he is, Kavanaugh.
Hey, guys. It's me.
Yo-yo.
There is just one more thing that I need to hit on with the Cowboys before I get into my coronavirus drug dealing news of the day.
Ooh.
Yes. I think we need to revisit our sentencing guidelines during a pandemic. You know, people got to work. You know, you get laid off. Who's not going to sell drugs? But that's a story for in a couple of minutes here.
Okay. Look forward to it.
I was donging around the internet this morning, actually. I believe I saw this morning. Might have been last night. Either way, I was donging around. And what I found here is a chart. I like charts because charts are visual.
Very powerful.
Yeah, words are a lot harder than pictures. That's why people like pictures so much. But I got a chart here for you. What this chart is going to be is on your vertical axis. Which one's vertical? The Y? The
Up and
vertical?
Down?
On our vertical axis. I was looking for X or Y. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I don't know the answer to that, bro.
On our vertical axis is how good teams are at rushing the passer with their defensive linemen, right? Pass rush win rate. How good are you at getting after the quarterback, beating your blockers, and, you know, harassing the guy?
Yeah, there's a lot of Y with our group.
On the X axis, if X is our horizontal, I'm calling it horizontal, is how often do you blitz as a team? At what rate do you blitz? And so I wanted to look at, all right, where are the Cowboys on this here chart? By the way, shout out to the kings of this chart, the Pittsburgh Steelers, whose pass rush win rate is 60% as a team, and they blitz the most in the league. They have the highest pass rush win rate, and they blitz the most.
Keith Butler.
So that's pretty good. Must be nice having T.J. Watt on your team. I wish my team had had that opportunity. He must have been gone way before they picked. Surely you didn't have a shot at the guy who's the best pass rusher in football.
Have you ever told Will McClay that? Have you ever walked up to him and asked him about that?
I only saw him in the bathroom a couple of times. I didn't want to creep him out. But if I ever see him, yeah, I won't be shy about telling him.
I don't think you should be.
I mean, I've got a laminated draft grade chart I could hand him that had T.J. Watt right behind Myles Garrett as the second best pass rusher in the class and Taco Charlton as an early third rounder.
We actually got that right, didn't we?
Yeah, I can show my work. But where do the Cowboys rank is the interesting one. We talked about some of this yesterday. They're second to last in the league at pass rush win rate. So their defensive linemen are not beating blockers to get to the quarterback. They're just not. Lot of failure happening there. Alden Smith is your best pass rusher right now. People got to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
So, what you going to do about it is the next question, right? We're not getting home. Dang it, just can't get to the second worst in the league at getting to the quarterback. Might need to send an extra guy. Might need to get home, you know? And where do the Cowboys rank in that regard? Well, the star here appears to be at about 22.5%. And based on counting logos, I think they're about 20th in the league at blitzing. So, I will say this. Last week, I don't know if I want to blitz Russell Wilson. He's the kind of guy that could probably make that hurt. But when you played the Falcons, if you're not getting home, send help. And I think against the Browns, if you're not getting home, send help. You know, there's not a great decision here because your secondary's not in great shape or doing the best job. But let's just make the plays happen faster. Let's just send a guy. If you're almost the worst in the league at getting home with four guys, you got to send a fifth guy. So that's my advice to the Cowboys this week. Don't be 20th in the league at blitzing if your front four is going to be the second worst in the league at rushing, send you a guy. Just send you a guy.
They did that with Jordan Lewis.
Yeah.
And you saw, you had a good result. So maybe that will lead to more opportunities.
Did it with Worley too, right? Wasn't it Worley who's like in one finger brushed a face mask? By the way, that's another way you probably beat the Seahawks, is if one finger doesn't brush against one part of a face mask and negate a sack that would have caused a fourth down.
Yeah.
Stupid stuff. All right, on to our more important story of the day. There's a flight attendant, okay? And she lost her job.
Oh.
Like many during the Rona, you know? A lot of people getting laid off.
Airline's tough.
A lot of people losing their jobs. Now, she's in Europe. You know, this is not an American heartbreak story. This is a European story. Now, maybe a lot of Americans will be in Europe soon, because I also did see last night that how to move to Canada was one of the most searched things during the debate last night.
They don't
want
us.
Might have to annex him.
Who was the basketball player that said he had enough? He was moving to Hawaii. He said, I've had enough, America.
Oh, he said, I'm leaving the country. I'm going to Hawaii.
Oh,
was
Lord.
It Whiteside?
It might have been. I don't remember.
That long flight got him.
But a former flight attendant had been crisscrossing across Europe, you know, working for the airlines, and she lost that job. She just got sentenced to 28 months behind bars for her drug dealing that she's been doing. She's 27 years old, and she was living sort of a hybrid life where she was a flight attendant, but she was also taking the sexy pictures as a flight attendant, like, follow me on the gram.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and maybe trying to make some money at that too. Yeah. I don't know. But she worked at several different airlines as a flight attendant, and there's lots of pics over there on the Insta where she's standing next to the planes in different spots and trying to look all hot and stuff. But pandemic, you know, cost her her job. And she loved her job, by the way.
Did she?
She loved being a flight attendant. I'm going to call her our victim here. Mm. Her last name, her name is Alexandra Dobre, 27 years old. And she's going to lose a couple of years of her life to a prison sentence here. So what happens is you get laid off. She jumps on a dating app. She meets a nice man. He's a successful man, but he does have a lot of money, mostly because he is a drug dealer.
And she's a flight attendant?
Yeah.
Was his name George? Did they live in Boston?
No. Okay. And naturally, she's like, well, hell, I'm unemployed. What do you want me to do? Move some blow for you? And so she's moving the blow.
I'm down. I'm a ride or die chick.
Yeah. And it was not her idea, obviously. It was the man's idea.
She saw the money, yeah.
Like, hey, why don't you move this blow for me? And she was like, why don't I just keep being hot and you support me? That's not in the story. I'm just assuming.
Some women fall hard, man.
Yeah. She so relocated to Stoke-on-Trent to carry on the relationship. Mm. But then she got stopped by the police. She was driving a Fiat.
Mm.
She got stopped, and then the cops were like, hey, where do you live? And she was like, that's a tough question. I don't know. Yeah. And they were like, hold on, what's going on here? And so they searched her apartment because she didn't want them to go to the apartment because, you know, the blow.
Wow.
But they do search her apartment, and they found 81 little bags of cocaine. Bedside drawer, right? 81 little bags.
Could be personal use.
Yeah. 19.4.
Anything else?
Yeah. 19.4.
My weekly supply right here.
It's really not that much once I read into it. 19.4 grams. Estimated street value of $2,200 to $3,300.
Oh,
okay?
Man.
That's a big mistake.
Yeah, that's a
and
big
she's
mistake.
Got $600 in cash laying around, which why do you have to note that? That's my money. You don't have to tell people how much money was in my apartment, you jerks.
They're going to assume that was drug money now.
Tell them I had more. So she
yeah, that's tough. First of all, you got a dangerous boyfriend. Let him do the illegal stuff, okay?
Yeah.
And if you are going to get talked into it, have it be making moves for $2 mil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not $2,000.
That's true.
She you can get in, get out at two mil.
She pled guilty to possession with intent to supply. And you like this story there, CD? And sentenced to 28 months there in the slammer. And I just think that this is a time for us to learn, you know, as a society, as a people, as a world, that, hey, if I lose my job and there's a freaking pandemic going on, cut me some slack if I'm moving drugs.
Yeah, man.
I'm trying to get by.
People need them, too. They're in quarantine, pandemic, lost their jobs. They need a little relaxation.
Yeah, why don't you go talk to the people I'm supplying? They're happy. They like this. They want this.
Not the fact you got caught.
Yeah, there's a damn pandemic
somebody snitched.
Going on.
Yeah. Somebody
you know? Snitched. And since her arrest, the dude has disappeared. We can't get a hold of the guy.
That's my guy.
Her attorney's saying, look, she's plainly acting under direction. One of the terrible consequences of her offending is she'd never get to be a flight attendant again. And that's something she loved. She's from a good family in Romania. She knows her family's going to be mortified. And the judge was like, yeah, I don't care about all that crap. Yeah. Class A substance, and you're going to the slammer for 28 months. I just think we should take a look at our sentencing guidelines during a pandemic.
I'm with it.
You know?
I'm with it, man.
Especially if you can document that you lost your job due to pandemic. Like, if you're some pathetic loser and you're out here dealing blow because it's fun for you.
Careful.
Well, then you go to prison. But if you're doing it because you lost your fine upstanding job
now?
As a flight attendant, yeah, there's drug dealing
you're
by
right.
necessity, and there's drug dealing because you thought, hell, this will be cool. Yeah. She didn't think this would be cool.
I hear you, man.
So
I'm
just
surprised drugs are
that.
Still on the street since they arrested multiple kingpins. Yeah. You know, like, didn't they get it wrapped up? They get all the way to the top. They got El Chapo. What the hell, man?
Well, I guess just another one, probably a shadow kingpin that we got to get to. So I think you double down on your war against
We're
it.
Close, right? We're getting close. What is
$20
billion a year now? Let's move it up to $40 billion a year to fight the war on drugs. That should push it over the top.
Hell yeah.
On
Hell
three.
Yeah.
All right.
Go.
Yep. Dawson 2024.
Yes, sir. Hey, we're going to get tough on crime now, okay? Hey, here we go, G-Bag Nation.
Excuse me.
There you go.
Here we go.
Tolos.
Yeah.
I'd like to apologize for that segment.
None needed.
I'm sorry.
Another Edward R. Murrow award-winning broadcast segment from Jeff. He's done it again. Tyler Seguin injury news that's unbelievable. And then we will get into some NFL news. Big congrats to two legends from Texas who are in the news and moving on up. That's next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.